I want you to think for a moment, actually to visualize some of the most beautiful parts of God's creation that you've experienced. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just think those places that you've been in your life that have just left you breathless. For me, I'm thinking of the North Shore of Minnesota, the California coast, the Monte Verde cloud rainforest in Costa Rica, the Olympics, the Cascades, and the Smoky Mountains, and the overcast beaches of Brittany, France. And I hope we share some of these places downstairs after this service. Sitting or standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon or on a cliff on the Pacific coast often makes us, or at least me, reflect on the meaning of life. Who am I? Why am I here? Who or what made this lush forest, barren desert, or vast ocean? The Hebrew people wrestled with these same questions. They wrestled with them even more after they were defeated by the Babylonians in the 6th century BC and forced into exile. They not only asked questions like, who created the world and why, but also, why have we been conquered and humiliated? Can we depend on the God of our forefathers and our foremothers, or have we been abandoned? Genesis means beginning. The story that you heard Peter and Jan tell a moment ago is the first of two creation stories found in the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Jewish Bible, or Tanakh, in the Christian Old Testament. And it is part of the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, thought to have been revealed by God to Moses. Genesis tells the story of God and God's people, Israel, from the very beginning. It is the story of a loving, generous, and generative God, vastly different from the gods of the ancient Near East. It is the story of Israel receiving a promise from the God of the universe, being invited into a covenantal relationship. From now until the last Sunday before Advent, we will journey together through the major stories, peoples, and themes comprising the Old Testament. These themes are relevant to our lives today: calling, promise, faithfulness, covenant, freedom, stewardship, sacrifice, faithlessness, and disobedience. My hope is that by taking a deeper dive into the Old Testament, we'll learn more about the core stories of our Jewish neighbors, our own Christian tradition, and the stories that formed and informed the Rabbi Jesus, his teachings, and his entire life. I hope that we'll also have a deeper understanding of the ways that our stories are part of God's larger story. Despite the historical context in which it was written down, defeat and exile, today's passage is one of praise and celebration. It was probably used in Israel's worship. This first creation story is not science or myth, but a theological and pastoral statement addressed to real people struggling with a real historical problem. It makes a faith statement about who God is and who God's people are in relationship to God and the world God has made. What do we learn from the story we just heard? Well, to begin with, God is first introduced as the wind. In Hebrew, ruach Elohim. So let's try saying that. Sounds like you're clearing your throat. Ruach, ruach. The wind that is blowing across the waters, sweeping over the face of the waters. God appears first as a gentle. Let me make that clear. A gentle, enlivening force, rather than a warrior God wrestling creation out of chaos. Some rabbis have said that it was if God were like a mother eagle hovering over the fledglings in her nest. Then God's wind or breath crystallized into sound, and God spoke the word and the world into being. Creation is not careless or accidental. The Creator has a purpose and will for creation. And the meaning of creation is to be found in the heart of the Creator. God did not create humans to mess with, inspire fear in, or oppress them, as was the case with so many of the gods of the ancient Near East. But God created humans because God wanted to be in relationship with them. The creation is good, and not only good, but beautiful. In his commentary on the first chapter of Genesis, Rashi's son Rashbam translated Tov, normally rendered good, as beautiful. In other words, on every day, beginning with the creation of land, God sees creation, sees land, vegetation, creatures that swim, fly, and walk, as not only good, but also as beautiful. Beauty inspires awe, which opens our hearts to something greater than ourselves, God. Creation is interconnected. In God's will and design, the earth brings forth vegetation and living creatures of every kind, and the waters also bring forth swarms of living creatures. Humankind is made in God's image, and God here is rendered in the plural. Let us make humankind in our image. Christians believe that God is Trinity, or one God, comprised of three persons, Creator, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, meaning God is community. God is relational, collaborative, and outward-looking, and embodies diversity, living in unity. The world is a gift and a blessing. So what does all of this mean in our day and age, and in terms of the challenges that we face? Global warming, consumerism run amok, pollution, overpopulation of the planet, and the loss of habitats and species. A couple of thoughts come to mind. In this story, humans are given dominion over the earth. The word dominion has unfortunately been misunderstood, and the earth exploited as a result. In this creation account, humans are made in God's image and are God's stewards. Our role is not to exploit or abuse the earth, but to secure the well-being of every other creature, bringing the God-given promise of each to full fruition. We do not own the earth, but are mere caretakers, intended to guard it and its treasures for future generations. God did not create the world and then leave us on our own to clean up the big mess that we made. God is intimately involved with God's creation and actively moving through it. At the same time, God has given us freedom. More about that next week, which we have more often than not abused. The culmination of creation is the Sabbath or Shabbat. On the seventh day, when God finished the work of creating the universe, God rested. That day of rest, which the Jews were commanded to observe, frees them from their striving and acquiring. It is a day on which not only humans, but the earth and all its creatures can rest. I believe that the seventh day is the most important day of creation. It is the one in which we get a taste of heaven or life as God intended. We are freed from everything that binds us and consumes our time and our energy. And we're freed to remember that God is indeed the creator of the earth, and we are mere creatures. We are freed to reflect, to pray, to live in peace with all people, God, and the earth. And by doing so, we begin to live into God's vision of shalom, meaning the well-being of all creation. The Hebrew word kadosh means holy. It gets at the mystery and the majesty of the divine. The first time this word is used in the Hebrew scriptures, it is in Genesis, on the seventh day of creation. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Rabbi Abraham Heschel says that on the Sabbath, we have the opportunity to become attuned to holiness in time. It is a day to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. In the silence that follows, I'd like you to focus on the gift of God's creation, perhaps the place that you visualized at the beginning of my sermon. And I want you to listen for how God is calling you to steward it for future generations. Amen.